All right, so we've already corrected, so for your information, those of you who joined us in the move forward. I just completed a roll call for the members of the board, but I'd love to for everybody to tell me who's here. And we still were,
I was frozen one back here. You didn't see me.
Other members of Sammy, Candy Bose, Brent Fulmer, Dale Clarkson, Tammy, Hunt, Phil, Rachel, and Sunshine Harris.
Anybody on the phone with Sammy?
Yes, Dan, I'm here.
All right, anyone else?
And for the recording, did you get all the board members here already?
Yeah, I already got the board members, Phil Hill, Phil Hollis, William Lamass. For those listening in and those that are in the room, we just announced the election results as far as appointment of officers. I'm Barry Parkin. I've been appointed as president of the association. Brad Hunt is vice president. Kathy has been elected as secretary, and Joe continues to control the treasurer. And we've all gone through and assigned areas of arrest and areas of work which we will include in the meeting minutes of this meeting. With that being said, I left town without bringing a set of meeting minutes for July's meeting. We did not have a meeting in August because of mixed up schedules, and so the last board meeting was in July.
Okay, let's get to it.
We don't
have to. We don't do
the annual. No, the annual meeting is going to get approved next annual meeting. Do we have someone else?
Yes.
What are your names?
Trisha and Byron.
Trisha and Byron.
S-C-H-I-M-T-C.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
To follow along.
I sent out the meeting minutes immediately following the meeting. I made any corrections that came in. Do we want to postpone the approval of the July meeting minutes until we have them in front of us because I omitted bringing them?
I think a lot of that my email. I'm good with.
Okay. Can I have a motion?
I second that. I make a motion when you approve the meeting.
Okay.
I second
that. All right. All right, turn the time over to Joe to give us the treasurer report.
Okay, I didn't get my QuickBooks in time for the last month, so mine don't match Mariah's, so Mariah will use her worksheet and go over it with us really quick here.
For the budgeting?
Yeah.
Did you want to do the budgeting now then?
I don't. Who said no?
Who said no?
No, somebody else. If there's a quick financial report just of where we're at in the meeting, then I think that we'll go through these things and have hold the budget till the last thing.
Perfect.
It's going to be the most time consuming and we want to get to that point.
So let me just give you the numbers on where our bank account stands as of right now. Just give me 1 second.
Sure.
Okay, currently we have $65,100 in our main account. We have roughly $27,000 in savings, and we have roughly $1,500 in the caretaker account.
Sure. As you reviewed that, have you noticed any big problems with this year's budget as far as running short, anything that needs to be noted?
I think when we get to the budget, I can identify those more closely, and we can do that then.
All right, perfect. We'll move on to the office report.
Oh, okay. That's me too.
I have something to do with this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay, give me just 1 second. I'd like to pull up my cabinet. I can report that we do not have any new members as of the last meeting that I reported. So far this year, we've had 15 members, which is fantastic for us. For the cabin usage, I thought it might be interesting to note, we just finished September Our average cabin usage is 55% of what they should be. Our highest utilized cabin this year so far is the garden cabin. Our lowest utilized cabin so far this year is cabin number 3. I don't believe I have anything else to discuss.
Okay, perfect. All right. Let's turn some time over to Phil Rachel for caretaker and for
well, we just been some stuff we've been working on. We need to stay up there and cold up our legs. We're in fact that we built a woodshed over here with a roof on it. We, you know, I don't know, I'm doing a lot of stuff. Well, for me, I've been doing patterns and laundry, and get the laundry done, and soak it up again, and, you know, so we've done a lot of improvements around here. We cleaned up back there, by the containers, and the solar batteries are, and we just have some trash up in there, but just cleaning up a lot of stuff, getting trash out of here and stuff, so. Working on little repairs, you know, that have come up, but,
How full is the town? I mean, has the cabin usage dropped off to where that's less of a chore?
Cabin full, each in a row, this month and the month, and then before then, there's not been a ton of cabin since we've been in. It's hard when people just come, like, we just have 16 people stay here for one night, so that gives me 16 people laundry, just in one night, you know what I mean? It's just hard to keep up on it, but it's fine, you know, it's good.
The big weird thing, like, we had a couple staying cabin 2 one night, and then they jumped in cabin 7. There's double laundry. So, why did they just stay in one cabin the whole time?
Is that a fair request? Why would the change made?
I don't know.
Okay, originally we had 2 weeks in cabin 7, but then we needed to change our schedule to be here a week early. Cabin 7 wasn't available. Okay, so we had to spend a couple of nights up there before the
yeah.
Just take your shoes with you next time.
Well, and also, they graciously also pay for both of those cabin rentals. They pay their fees, and so they're paying them just to get their separate reservations.
Well, I'm not saying that. I think it's good, but we did laundry and restocking and I got myself the day doing one, two, and four, and I ended up running out of there because the title for like right below four, it's just growing. There you sit at the midday. It's just weird. And I'm still in there.
So we got thinking we built around the clean out unit and the valve that steps the main water line for all the lore. Water system. They actually have a fence around Eastern Millbury that the one where the gate was, we relocated the gate over and built the fence in a diagonal. So the cows, when they come, just naturally pull the gate. Used to go in the corner down. We've also replaced a lot of fencing in the corral. Just the gate project took me okay. The whole day to do it. And, you know, plant posts and all that. And then yesterday, it took me a full day to, there was some, in the main part of the lower corral, where the water trough is, the middle water trough on the other side, they built, and there was a piece of fence down that a cow had gotten out, and some cowboys just came down to bring the cow. I went to go fix it, and I put it on the fence down there, so. And so I had to pull out five panels, pull all the posts along there, and all the posts. That took me all day yesterday to do that. But it looks nice. And now the whole cow. We have had a lot of domestics come on the range. We've been doing that barbed wire fencing up along the lift walk on both sides of the cow guard. We put about 15 posts in over there and a bunch of new barbed wire.
And how
did it help? And how Emily came down with somebody else with her and helped us get that borderline. So that's the only barbed wire fencing we've been doing. So just maintaining, and he worked on the tool shed for 4 straight days. you look like I haven't. So, a lot of trying to figure things out. You know, we had a generator running to give us some lights out there where we were. But we purchased some sawhorses because we need to build these things, and there's no place to secure them when we're building. So, Phil and Rachel, DNR, bought us some sawhorses. So, when we leave here, they're such nice sawhorses. That we're taking them. We're taking them, sorry, we have been marking all new tools. We did buy a new drill. The drill that we had threw away because the cylinder got smashed. So I was trying to take the bit off. Went down to Home Depot and they had one for $189. And Home Depot associate told me a better deal when you got true impact, two batteries, the one man. When it had made that purchase. Now the ranch comes two compact drills and a random drill, over 18 volt holes.
What?
There are. They all say,
thank you.
They all say, see, they're on, man.
That's what we were afraid of.
They say, we're friends, ranch, and owners association on all of them.
Okay, thank you.
And the bags and those types of things. There was a break-in in the garden cabin upstairs. We'll deal about it. Someone kicked the door in. And then he kicked the door out, flaring the whole wood along the tent. And we had people in here just nonstop, and finally we haven't had any rain. And that repair hasn't been made yet. But I did look at it. It seemed like it might be an easier fix.
So that's up here in Boston? Yeah. I called John and told him, go ahead and order a new door. Did you get one order?
No.
Oh, you didn't tell him?
I didn't tell him.
Okay, cool. Well, Jamie, I told John to tell you to order a new door. So
order
a new door.
That
was
sick. You've been sold now.
Well, we did have to make two things door runs. You know, so we went out that one. This is Wednesday, Thursday. We're going to get all the running around. And then the water system. So Janet, so this little bit on that. Janet contacted me and we just talked through everything. And it kind of was a misunderstanding on my part. It was probably just information all about in the beginning part. And Grant's running through everything, kind of get us going, and I just escaped the information that the upper system did not need to be on like a regular routine testing, but that wasn't had two positives. Well, we shouldn't have had two positives to begin with, because the upper system was invested only. So she was very patient and kind, and I explained everything, and I was like, it's my fault, I just didn't help, and I got fixed down, and she's like, okay, you have to do 3 weeks until then, and maybe go in Monday, and do the 4 weeks from Brent, so we had to do well. Testing, and by the way, we do not
feel
the fun out of
the
well. Okay, so there was still one positive on the north, one positive on the south. So the only one we ever had from down here is here. Even with the two main water lines, we never got E. coli or anything. We checked the lines here, but we had the coliform.
The coliform is just for curiosity, I know it's before I got involved in the water process. The predecessor to E. coli. If it shows up, it's an indication that if you don't treat it, you're going to have a problem. It's not harmful, it's not bad for you or anything else. It's just an early indication of what's going to happen. So if you have that, then we've gotten a lot better over the last couple of years treating it over the way.
Yeah, he asked what we did. We just going to refund water and we just have to go in. So I go back in on Monday and then she said, I would like you to not do the water testing this week.
disorganizing and getting schools. Now, we have lots of new schools. I've had gone through what I have found, and a lot of it's girls as a character, when they're being racist, and the racist are factor, and they're being confined. So, you know, about 9 minutes, and have spent money on this, is it or not, you get on some sort of on a big hole, and if the rent breaks, and have an accident out here, that's not a good thing. I do notice that we do need to, and we can do it next year, just because it is, we need an impact, one that hooks up to the air.
Air or electric?
Yeah, we need some big hydrogen level as well.
They come out just recently, around the last year or two, which is pretty good battery power impact tools that are a lot user better than dragging out a compressor and air hose in the.
Yeah, we had one at the Luxor that with the 18-volt battery, yeah. It would actually take a lot of time.
Wow, pretty good
shot.
Yeah. I just bought a Milwaukee that's 1,400 pound, yeah.
Yeah, so we need something like that, and we budgeted in there for next year.
That's
needed at the ranch. Another thing that's needed, and although we have that son of a bottle jack, I think we need a floor jack.
They're actually safe on the dirt, so bottle jacks have a tendency to slip on them. So, yeah, it's a good idea.
Just keep an eye out. They come on special from time to time at different dealers, and you can get them. I got a pretty decent one for about $30.
I have a very decent one for $12. It's in my way.
So if you want to just relocate it to the ranch, then you can borrow any of it.
Yeah, I can do that.
Is it like a pallet jack?
No, it's a next floor
jack.
I mean, it weighs more than two of me.
We probably need one you can move around.
No, it weighs as much as I do. It's a very heavy one, but it will lift.
Go drag it to gravel and stuff. Herbert Great has those
plows. They drag well for gravel because of the stinking iron wheels. But to get one with rubber wheels, you got to go to those aluminum ones they use for race cars. They got rubber wheels on them, but they won't. This one will lift the tractor. Those won't.
So the other thing we've been doing is we finished the leash line on the Stephanie for the other object, and then Larry came out after he got back. He wasn't sure. There was some dip, and they went ahead and completed that. So the lease line is all done. One thing we did is we fenced the septic area. That's got a nice fence all the way around it. And then, I don't remember who asked us to do it, but we are going to do it. We're going to fence the solar panels as well.
I didn't ask. John, would you have them fence the solar panels on their list?
What we're going to do is we're going to run a fence. Like we took the back off and cleared the area from the logs next to it, and we just pushed them back to get in there and cut them and be better. We did at least cut 2.5 cords of wood and split and have it stacked in a new wood shed. I don't know if you've ever done that, but that's time consuming.
That works.
We did do go get a burn permit, not a burn permit, a permit permit. We've got 4 more cords of wood here on the, not on the ranch. We don't have to have a permit for that. We're on the easement we do. We have a permit to do that as well as cut 20 feet of post. And then we're going to go to, there's a lot of down lumber up on the fourth access. It's already on the ground. It's not rotted. We want to get a forest man in Angry to go in and harvest that wood. And so, we've got that to do. The truck is broke down right now, the ranch truck. The board.
Well, one part, I'm very, very touchy on that. And then when I drive, underneath my feet, I get very, it vibrates. I get, there's something wrong in there. Almost sounds like that almost sounds like it's going to break on me.
Didn't we just do the transmission on that?
We did have the first month we were hired. We were coming in with
the red shirt holder. Yeah, you put it in
San Jorge. So do we have a warranty on that?
I don't know.
It sounds
like
it's on the wheel. Like, and I know it's more on the dirt road.
Sure, it's a little different. We'll take it back in there. It'll be some totally different thing than what they used to.
So, that transmission in that truck has worked on twice from Paul and Nancy because it's taken in St. George and it failed. And it went back to them, and they fixed it. And now we had it again when they first came, and now we got it again.
When it went back the second time, it was a limitless problem with all of us. They had,
well,
I think, it was a rock went up and hit in the fence something, so they redid the limitless and they on that second for sure, but now I don't know.
Are you going to be able to get it to St. George down
the road? Yeah, Brad's going to take the, what we're going to do is Brad's going to take the trash trailer and the East Guy Gordon Town to get it. Police car or something. And so he's going to take his truck because he's got a diesel that can pull that trailer. Right now we don't have any truck that will pull that trailer. So Brent's going to take the trash trailer in, and then I was going to drive the truck down, but he says don't do that, so we're not going to do that. So I would suggest that maybe when Brent can take the dump truck back down that we close the bridge and bring that up in the back of the.
In the dump trailer.
The dump trailer. We think.
For anything to tie it down for those bounce around in there, there's lots of places to tie it down.
Watch it. There's a number plus.
Yeah.
Obviously, what I did last time, they loaded it with their portfolio. I scrapped it up against my headache rack on my flatbed. And it rides still fine there.
Okay.
So I can pick it up. Is it delivered already?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll pick it up I'll take the trash trailer in on Tuesday. I'll pick that, and then I'll come back, and then I'll fix that. So at the same time, I'll pick up that bridge.
I didn't recognize you back there. I just had a regular hat on.
I'm another Scott.
Yeah, I had a hat on back there. It's like a haircut.
And then on the Ford, I got to go back in to town on Thursday, so we're going to load the Ford onto the ranch flatbed. And I'll haul it in and drop it off.
Who are we taking it to?
Well, if Mike put the transmission in, and it's got a lifetime warranty on it. So, you know, you should get the transmission work done for free. And then also on there to down, Phil's got some lumber waiting for us down at the sawmill in Sedonia. And so on. Have a flatbed run down there and pick up that lumber. Bring that in and I'll bring the flatbed
Do you know how much that is, Phil?
$458.
Okay. Anything else?
A lot of people say, you know, what have you been doing? Come on down and look at
it. I don't hear that. People saying that.
Are doing stuff. And some days we don't even break the line. But we've been hauling the wood down from the upper cabin. We've been doing a little bit of actual work. I can't remember what we've really been doing with it, but I've got pretty good at it. And now Rachel is training on the backhoe. I will give you permission from the BLM to go ahead and bring the world that goes out to different, what we call different points out there, where the long ones have their cows. We're going to have to start hauling water again. That farm is getting low.
Did the rain show up?
I don't know. I've been out there since the rain.
How much did you get here?
We don't do any much. Over the whole time. The most in a couple of days. And it's been a working. It's not been a hard rain. It's been a low rain where it's been had time to sustain in and then we'll quit and then do it again.
Water was running on my road on the low ranch here. I don't know if it got all the way over. If it did, might have to do anything because we might have to put water there to a spot for a season.
Okay. And I think that's it. We do want to, the front porch, there's just on the ranch house, and always We could do it next year. I should do it this year, but we want to keep it in this level. Go all the way up next to the house. That traditionally takes us in. I don't know, it's not for us. I'm up here a year. Have a good mile here. They'll be there again. I think they come up from along the house right there, and they still on the floor.
They come out of your bedroom and crawl out. Underneath your porch and between those cracks.
Yeah, those cracks. That was the first night that the break was going to take out multiple tanks on the front porch. So we just want to try to get some of that spray foam and go along the front, work between the rocks where it's uneven and the wood, and just get as safe as possible.
I think they come off the hill though because of the shade, the trees, and the, you know, you water your lawns and it's cool. So,
next year, or if you don't want to do it, but we do want to.
No, we can do it. That's great.
A nice green. That we've already lost.
And yeah. A concrete wall board, too, the section of off. We can't come out from under it. That's what I feel on my chat. I need a concrete wall board with no more snakes under the cabin at all.
Yeah, all the way around his cabin.
No mice under the cabin, nothing.
Oh, get on that. Yeah, every year I've ever even been on that, and pay across back around the water heater. I would just build something in the toilet. You don't have to do it. It's just draw like $89 bill.
It probably depends on what our budget is. By the end of the year, yeah. I mean,
that's just
we can do all these things. I think everything you said is a good thing. It's just, you know,
will you
got to get in the habit of talking to the person who's over it, seeing what their budget is. Kathy's assigned for the lower ranch cabins and stuff, and she'll be watching the budget, and she'll be saying, you know, yeah, I have some money to do that. Let's do that. And Joe's over the upper ones, and they're going to work team together over both of them. And so when you get an assignment, then you need to, or when you have something, take it to John and I'll take it to them and get your answers.
Okay.
Anything else?
That's it.
All right. Do you have one of these budget sheets?
No.
You gotta pick one up, and you can kind of look through, and you can see where we're at in every area. You can see, oh, wow, they went over on that, and they're under on that, and you can see. We have a budget for you to buy these tools you're talking about. We want good quality tools. We want to mark. So they stay here.
Oh, they'll stay here.
Do we have a color that we're painting shovels and all that other stuff?
I'm going to jump to 7 and 8 real quick because I think we talked about those and then come back to the budget, which is going to take a little while. Okay? Number 7, we obviously passed the bylaws. We did not pass the CCNRs. I was interested to know from the board. I had a little email discussion with friends I think we were all copied on. My question is to the board, how much effort or any effort do we do to move forward to try to get the CCNR passed? Anybody have an opinion or thoughts one way or the other? I don't want you to, I mean, you don't have to say whether you're for or against, but I need to know whether we make more efforts on that or whether we feel like it's a dead issue and we just take what we've got.
What's the process? Do we have to totally re-vote that issue, or do we just need to continue?
We don't have to revote.
To get it finalized.
We don't have to revote.
tricky is that we don't know, unless Mariah tracked, we don't know who voted so far. So the reality is, and plus, with the 50 votes against, that's almost enough to kill the deal all the way in. So, practically speaking, yes, we have to submit a new vote with an additional explanation, possibly making a change that Brent has heard suggested, and see where it goes from there. It's not going to be a simple process, and the standard is high, so it's going to be difficult either way, but you could continue. It's not a, you have to vote by this date. This is the kind of thing that you can vote over time. In fact, most homeowners associations, we have to do multiple inquiries to get enough votes to change these numbers. It's very tended to be difficult. Any thoughts?
Well, I got a lot of people calling me about the office and mentioned that thing on Thursday, so 14.10.
14.10.
14.10 was just the evening. And, many people called me and said they didn't like the word declarative in LLC platform. That was a major issue with a lot of that. Other than that.
I'm glad we have Dale here today just to bring up that point, because I've been one of the sticklers on the easement, obviously. But, you know, if we can't get an agreement between everybody and Dale, then these don't pass. I mean, we need to put politics aside and figure out what works for everybody and talk about the draft. I think we have the draft. I think we should do. I think it needs a few tweaks, and I think we could get it passed. But
we're not voting today. I'm happy to go back and address. Now, Brent's concern is on an easement that's not the same as your easement.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Okay, that's what he
says. His concern is, it says that the association or the declarant, if you're not maintaining your lot or you're violating the CCNR, then they have the right to go on your lot and fix it for you and then back charge. That's normal in every homeowner association. And bottom line is, where this is a rural subdivision where we've taken out almost all the restrictions anyway, I personally don't have a problem with taking that section out and throwing in the garbage. That doesn't address your easement condition. And maybe we just continue.
I know I'm the voice of this issue, but if you guys honestly will take a look at that and read through our easements and what we have, 20 years from now, we literally might not recognize the ranch that we have. If we have all these millennials growing up in Bryan property and they paved the road 7 miles and then they paved the road, you know, 14 miles right to the ranch, now we have people out here who would never drive on a dirt road and now they're here. So the people are going to change a little bit, and if we don't protect our ranch, we're not going to recognize it in 20 years. I mean, we're fine for 5 years or 10 years or whatever, probably. But in the long run, if we want the ranch to be like this, we need to look at some of those easement protections and protect our common rights and you know, not have roads and kind of things tearing up every hill and going all over.
Brad's easement issue can be resolved by simply defining the difference between public utility easement and private use, because the issue that arose because on your particular law and your concern is not a public utility. And that's what is that we have public utility easement on every lot border, which I think needs to be there for that purpose. That's not a private driveway. A single person is not public. So I can't go on anybody's public utility easement and create a driveway just because I personally want it or John Harris personally wants it and he wants to hire me to do it. So that right there, I think, solves your problem and everybody else's on the ranch that's concerned about, hey, I'm worried about somebody coming and putting a road because there is an easement there. They can legally fudge and say, yeah, I can do it because it's an easement. Well, it's a public utility easement. Prove to me that you're serving a public good. Is it beneficial to the public? or is it beneficial to John? I mean, the leader or the major. That's the different criteria.
Let me propose that. I mean, bottom line is I need to make some revisions to what we have right now. I'm willing to do that, especially related to that and possibly the finding. So what I'm suggesting is we continue to work on this. We don't just drop it right now. Is that anybody object to that, or is anybody?
I think that's great. I also don't like the part where the board can decide how many board members sit. You'll find when you read through there, but there are a couple other things that I didn't really like.
I would love to have any input that you can give me. Well, I'm not going to do it in the next month, but bottom line is, through the rest of the year, then I think it's worth looking at again and possibly making some adjustments that will allow for new votes to be more positive.
And the steps that we can put together and do a vote by just mail out in a poll, what's the likelihood that we're going to get enough responses, positive or negative? You know, annual meeting time is typically the biggest turnout or the biggest response we ever get. And if we didn't get enough people to do this then, what's the likelihood that we're going to?
We're not going to get it.
If we can unlock it.
We're not going to get it. I can tell you from past experience with a lot of other subdivisions, we're not going to get it, annual meeting or otherwise, unless board members are involved calling people saying, you haven't voted yet. I don't care how you vote, but we need to vote pro or against.
Which has come back to our area.
This particular vote is not based on how many people show up at the meeting. It's every property owner needs to vote.
And I want one more thing, Mr. President. Gail, while you're here, I am not fighting to take away your rights to be able to continue developing on your lots. I think that every lot has to have access to it, has to have a good access to it, and that's not my problem. That's not the issue here. The issue is, every single person on the ranch having a right to make a road. So I think we can protect your rights as the developer and with the most lots to still to develop and anybody else who's developing their rights. If we don't do something overall, then this isn't going to look like this in 20 years from now.
Okay, we'll end the discussion on that. Move on to rental. Let's have a fairly quick discussion. Joe? Speak your mind on this, and then we'll see if anybody else can try to make a decision. Right now we're in limbo. I don't know if anybody knows what the rules are or all.
I have copies of those. It's according to what you said last year. I'd like to refer to them.
Okay. Yo,
I've got a couple of calls on that, but I just say one thing briefly, Joe. If I remember right, we've discussed it, and we set up the rules for members to be able to do kind of what Larry suggested in his. And then we had some problems with the machinery, and so we kind of put a moratorium on people renting our equipment. Is that what we did? Is that how you remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with members being allowed to have the backhoe go to their property. I have a very big problem with the member operating on the backhoe on their property. Every time we've loaned it out, it's been broken. Phil Hall hired people from Colorado City who did the work. They found stuff that was broken from the previous guy who used it. It's gone over. Pull down, just come back. I was told everybody it has to be greased when you pick it up and greased when you bring it back. One time they came back from Podunk, and I was going to use it in my place to do something, and so was Troy Edison. So Brent and I were going to grease it, make sure everything was okay. We'll be putting like 45 pumps of grease just in the front end, so it's not being taken care of. They're treating it like a rental piece of equipment. So if we're going to use it, if Larry's going to operate it on someone's property and they pay Larry and they pay us for the rental use of it, I don't have a problem with it. You cannot, under any conditions, allow me to use the backhoe. I own the backhoe, but I let Brent use it for me because I'm not qualified to operate it. I'm smart enough to say, that's not my bag. Other people, they want to claim they know everything, and it's going to get broken, and they can't afford to fix it.
Don't we currently have a list of people authorized?
The only people that are fixing it is Larry Helps,
John helps, I help, Brent helps, and John Ray, we pay $30 of labor fixing this thing, and no one pays, and these guys are even buying the parts. Larry's buying parts for it. I don't think we can rent it unless we have a certified, qualified operator that is proven to be good by Larry or somebody else who's qualified.
Here's I think we should still be the list, but I did get approached by somebody just a couple days ago and had taken the belt and there were several things broke on it, and he paid to have that repaired at his own expense.
So you're right, John Ray's got $1,000.
So I think that we need to re-examine this and real operators and allow a list. And if they break it, they need to fix it. And if they don't bring it back, like I got told, somebody borrowed it and they never brought it back, they don't get to be on that list anymore.
Here's the problem is we have to have somebody who knows what's going on with the backhoe and can check it.
This is your checklist.
Yeah, and then you check to see, hey, this isn't loose, this isn't, this is broken. That's the hard part of it.
I've been a proponent of, hey, the equipment was purchased by the membership, it should be available to them, but it has to be checked. Well, that process is time-consuming, and who does it?
It's going to take time to bring these guys up to speed and so you feel comfortable with them being able to go through a checklist, and they can check everything on there and then charge. Say, sorry, you didn't grease it, that's this, it's not full of diesel, that's right. Cost this.
We just mentioned Don Ray. He received the thing. The pension thing is wrong with it, one of them is a bus. And now, until quote unquote, he was supposedly a qualified operator that operates them. When they come back, the teeth are all bent back and this one. Besides, I don't know how good they were welded in the first place, but I'm not an operator. The little teeth to be lift back, he wasn't digging like this, he was coming down. He was coming against rock and bend back. If you're an operator, I'm not. They need to come down on the point and dig them out, not like this. So anyway, Joe,
I'm going to raise you by RPM if you're able to bend the teeth back.
Yeah, but they get well repeated. If you use it all day and go on that effort and doing it wrong each time, it's going to take its toll. The hydraulics have a lot of power.
Okay, let me take this. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, as I say, myself, I didn't do any well. I just supplied the stuff that they're available at the house. His son actually did the welding on it. The welder just tried to get and turned the teeth around. Somebody put the teeth around the wrong way. Then we find out that the hole at the top was,
the whole tender was
broken. The whole tender was broken. Well, it's completely missing.
That's been fixed twice already.
And it's been completely missing. Now, the last time, I saw Phil $75 for the one rubber piece, I didn't know that it had another piece. So I don't know when that got lost. But I do know this about people, they're going to fix it as cheaply as they can. And they shouldn't be allowed to fix it themselves. Somebody qualified needs to be able to fix it when it's broken. I charged him $75, it turned out it cost about a lot closer to $350 to fix it. Bill didn't get that bill, and I don't know that he earned it. It might have been some of the others. But anyway, that got fixed. That's what it cost for the parts. And then the bucket that he got when he used this, it was already a week in state, he used it, but he did come forward to pay for it. Now, he spent over $1,000 of his money on parts to fix it. Now, that doesn't include all the hours it takes to fix it. That's not fair to him.
because it's been used and abused by others before him, and he got hooked with it. Now, who around here is qualified enough to look and see how long the factor when it comes back in?
There Larry is. That's the problem all the time.
Larry is. Bill and Rachel will probably never learn that, and they got too much to learn anyway without having to do that. You got to be a guy that uses that machine on a daily basis to know what's wrong with it and what isn't wrong with it. And that bucket, when Bill's guy come back the first time with it, we went over and got it over from Bob Johnson, who he was using it. And I guess Paul gave him permission. I don't know. When I went out, when it come back, the teeth pin, that teeth pin there, it was out on this side. It was not hooked in here because the teeth were over here and the product teeth was missing. So I went down to the Tractor Supply and bought one and put it in there. Now, he continued to use that. And he's a qualified operator. I've said before, we had all these people that are working for Mission Pools that some of them are pretty good operators and some of them are damn good operators. And the ones that are pretty good operators tend to break things. They're not as good as they think they are. And we're getting right here. And these people are not paying for it. Now, I've heard this argument about, well, we paid for this backhoe, so we should be able to use it. Well, no. I don't agree with that, and here's why. When we were pushing for that, and I pushed for it pretty hard, and I'm sure some others did too, but it was to save us money. When we have a problem out there, we have an emergency out there that needs to be fixed. And then we got to get somebody in town who's good if he could come out here exactly when we want him. And he may want to charge $500 just to bring a piece of equipment out here. But I can be out there next week. No, we got a washout down here and people get through. That's why I wanted it for the road part of it. And we bought an old tractor. We didn't buy a new one. That one there would never be used by a professional using one every day. Day in, day out doing high production work because it wouldn't hold up. So we'll just say for the sake of numbers, we got about 305 lots out there, we got 305 owners, and man, if they all decided they wanted to use it, we'd wear that thing out in a hurry because it's already old. And that's why I'm against it, because we need it when we need it. And if we do decide, and I go along with whatever the board wants to do on it, I won't fight it any further, but they need to at least let us know way in advance when they want it. They need to have already made a deal with whoever, Larry or whoever else we deem that is a qualified operator. And that qualified operator should be able to know what's wrong with it. He ought to be that good. They need to make their deal with him to pay him for it and when they can do it. There's the catch. If something comes up in an emergency, they can all go away. And they can have it all set up and come out here and they won't be able to use it simply because we've had absolute emergency, and in my opinion, the ranch gets that.
I got a legal question.
Let's say we let somebody use it, and they're supposedly qualified, and they do $10,000 worth of damage. And whoops, I can't afford to pay that. Can you put a lien on their property? Well, we can't do that.
So, unless you get judgment against
them. So, we're in a rock and hard spot with a lot of
let me propose this. Just so we got to get to the last subject, because it's going to take a while. I propose that we just continue the moratorium right now and not rent the equipment until we have time in a meeting and we can go through. Right now, our rules and regulations say we're renting equipment, but I don't think we have a concrete and clear enough list of operators, first of all, and we don't have I put together a lease agreement for equipment that's never been used for show attending. We're just not ready right now. I'm not saying we won't be in the future, but I'm just saying right now, let's not lease the equipment. We have to see what the condition is, and we also need to determine whether we do or don't want to lease it on a long-term basis, and what those rules might be for the operator company. To avoid problems and breaking and causing more damage, I just say for right now that we don't look at the numbers and leave it at that.
I second the motion. And then we'll forward it on the agenda for
the next meeting. Say, let's just, yeah, let's put it on the agenda for next
meeting. All right.
Yes, sir.
We need to address that Kubota so we can get well.
What's the draft? It needs to be fixed.
We need to
call somebody that can fix it.
Okay. Yeah. We'll give them
to do it. Can we, what? Can we put that on a trailer and hold it down?
The Kubota?
We don't have that many people that are on the meeting. Our trailer is not heavy enough to haul it. Let me talk to a couple of guys in town. Jim, you know, Jimmy is mine. He'll come out for a whole lot less than Bowman's or Little's. And let me talk to him when I go into town and see if he'll come out and take a look at it. He's a good decent. Bottom line is we need to fix. The money is going to be rotten sitting like that. So work with Brent, and if we can get somebody else, great. If we can't, then let's get it in. It needs to be fixed. And it does no good for anybody sitting like that, and it needs to be done before snowfall.
Yes. And the brush hog, is it running?
Brush hog works.
It's running.
Brush
hog just
went on, and
there's
a little problem. They actually just had to build some doors.
Let's get the
Kubota
running.
They did not put them above the gas, and as we researched that, we don't know what chemicals we had that might make those gas fumes and other big bombs. And so, we relocated them to the carport. And built some shelves in there and had to build a little enclosure.
Okay, Brian. Here's what I propose we do to the budget. We're going to go through and we're going to look line by line. But I know that we're trying to. This is the preliminary budget, so you're going to say what you need at the end. We're going to see where we're at. We're going to finalize the budget in the next meeting after you've had a chance to think it over and look at it.
Yes, can I add to that too? My thought of going into this is if you would all just turn to page 6. Of the budget. I think we'll be well. Maybe let me throw this idea out and then let's see maybe if that's okay. Page 6, please. Page 6 of the budget, if you look at the middle column, it's titled at the top of the page, Projected 2018. This column at the very bottom signifies where, after Joe and I have spent hours and hours analyzing, going back over 3-year charts, forecasting. This at the very bottom, about $655, is where we project we will be at the end of the year. That's all we will have left over. So the good news of that is we were able to put a septic tank in. We were able to re-roof. We've been able to do a lot of things with the ranch house. We've been able to do a lot of things with the money. Painting the tank, new refrigerators, so much stuff. So as you'll remember, last year we transferred $11,000 into our savings account. That has all been eaten up. However, we haven't had to dip into our savings account, so that's a success, I think. On the contrary, there are a lot of things that we've gone over budget on. I've marked those in the notes column as you'll go through there. My proposal is we maintain the budget that has been working for us in 2017 and 2018 with maybe a few adjustments with a new category and we put money and allocate out. But we maintain that same budget, which has been successful. And go forward with that budget in mind, pretty much keeping everything exactly as it is right now, unless there are areas that we feel for sure we've got to make an increase.
I think one place would have to be the petting zoo of the animals. I think it's definitely necessary that we have that. I like what it's doing. The trouble is we under budgeted for it and it makes everybody look bad, so we're going to have to increase the budget if we'll pay for that.
It's only looks bad if you're bean counter.
Well,
yes,
okay.
Yeah,
that's our job. That's our job.
Okay, let me share you a non-being counted view of that. Where is that? Where's my...
You'll find it on page 4. Oh,
right. Turn to page 4.
But page 4 will probably not tell you what you're looking for. Let me find it on your... project for your PNA?
Well, this will tell me because it has all this red lines here saying over budget, over budget, over budget. So this is going to tell me I still have $2,000 left in my budget. So,
yes, that is true.
So this is going to, expenses are going to shift and I'm going to do more. You know, I didn't have any idea that we'd spend that much money, almost $2,000 into the pins and the other things over here. So that's going to shift, but we're still $2,000 under budget, even with all of that.
Right. So let me know, because I don't want anyone to feel like their category is being nitpicked. The purpose of over budget is to say, we spent more than what we had budgeted. Do we want to change that for the next year? That's the only purpose that's there. So forgive me.
But if it all falls in this livestock and wildlife
right.
area, then that's my budget. So I'm not, we're over budget.
In specific line items.
Yeah, because we said 5 and we should have said 6. But it was down here,
right.
we said 7 and we're only said 2.
Right.
Within our parameters here. So
the overall, if the projections are correct, we're going to have $650 at the end of the year. So all of the lines, once you average them out, we did pretty good in the overall budget. We just might want to tweak a few of the line items.
Right. It's not
going to be critical. I'm just saying, just going to say it's over budget doesn't mean
exactly.
our budget isn't over. We're not over
right.
budget yet.
Right. It just means that, for example, on the pennies, we spent more than we had allocated. We had $750 this year. Do we want to change that? That's the point of the
year. We spent almost $1,800, so that's got to go up.
As the basis of budget, you look at it, and you just look at adjustments rather than starting over.
Agreed.
Hallelujah.
Because
agreed. So, for example, on the petting zoo, I have allocated and proposed that next year we have a budget of $1,800 for the petting zoo. And if you'll look at the projections, pretty much the projections column is what I'd like to move over to the next year. The petting zoo is something to consider. Another big concern is also the zero budgeted. You'll see those in that right-hand column under notes. Zero budgeted means that those are places where we've spent money that we did not have money allocated. Again, not something to point fingers, just to indicate, do we want to allocate money to
those
areas? Exactly. It's just meant to be an eye catcher. Also, as you'll go through in the income, which is pretty much just the first page, you'll see in blue exceeded budget. Again, another discussion point, just to show where we brought in more money than we had hoped to bring in the first place. So these are all just eye catchers for discussion as the board goes through. So my thought is, based on what we've done, the projected, Joe and I have gone through, we've updated, we've anticipated how much more we will spend. We feel like we'll come out with $600 ahead. I think that we could go with the budget that we had last year with maybe a few adjustments, like for the petting zoo and those things. And I think that I could bring to the next meeting the 2019 budget pretty well prepared with maybe a few discussion items, but we will already do that.
Okay, let me say something here. Things like consumables for the cabin. I went over the last 3 years where we normally use $2,000 for consumables. This year we went to $3,600. So some of the budget might be off because that money probably is not loaded as probably. So stuff to fill them down to find a way to make sure consumables get with the cabins and
in the
right category. We're okay with the money because we got money left over, but we may not be putting it in the right spot, so they have to be a little more careful.
So the only allocation I need, you guys are doing awesome there, the only allocation I need is if there's a maintenance item for a particular cabin. So like all the paper towels and stuff like that goes in consumables, but I found a lot of PVC fittings that I couldn't keep up on an email to know which cabin. They went to for those and maintenance. So if you can just, that's why I'm thinking.
So
we're
over
some of that seems like
out of the law. You probably just put it in the wrong category.
Okay, I propose that we adjourn this meeting for 15 or 20 minutes while we get food. And then we go through this and have a discussion on the Are they ready or not?
No.
Alright, so then let's go through what I'd like to do. I want to make some changes in my area of budget. So I think we go through on item by item basis, not to have a discussion on every item. We don't want to make this very loud here. No offense, but I don't want to spend 6 hours on that. So there's some things that in my area I want to change, and I assume that each of you will have an opinion on it. We're only going to discuss the changes that need to be made, and maybe the items that are not in the budget or over the budget. Does that work?
That's great.
All right. You want to lead the discussion and just go through the items?
Sure. So this year, let's start right off with assessments. I put a note in there. I think it's important to realize I went through, I think this is a pretty standard year on my analysis of how many kids we're going to have on average that are going to pay their assessments by the end of the year. And I'm coming up with a number of 287. You should be able to see that. Just bear, for the very far we've been planning. I mean, 290 is how many we've received. But 287 seems to be consistent. So unfortunately, I think we ought to plan on that number going here for before. That number was, I believe that equals the analysis in the 2019 budget, but we'll just multiply those with.
Well, let me ask you, Jeff, we've got 305, that's what I've been told. Lots. How come there's only this amount of paying?
That's a great question. So we have four lots that are actually owned by the membership. So if you take those back,
I do know of one that was sold that was not sold as a member.
That's the other one.
Yeah, there's that one. Okay. There's two of them that were set up that way a long time ago.
That was one of the things we were trying to fix in our case. Was one of them. To accomplish having membership for all the lots and having them and getting them to the
point
that I think that's right. Yeah. Can you support somebody who's already grandfathered in?
They have to agree to it. And, but there's been one of them that has in the past that said, hey, I want a membership. I'm happy and without a difficult. This is part of the problem.
Yeah. Sorry, Kathy. That total is not correct. The 2019 budget then would be proposed to be
$136,325.
Instead of 39? Yes. I feel like that's a pretty consistent plan on it. We have 11 right now that are sitting out still. So.
That was 136 what?
136,325. Everything else there, I think is probably pretty safe. You want to go line by line, let's see, bank interest. I don't think we need to discuss anything else in here. Everything else looks fine. Water meter fee, let's look at that one, line 27. We did have a new, payment for a new hookup into the lower water system. That's why that one is so exaggerated. Normally, it would not happen yet. So you just need to watch. That's why I have a $350 mark in the 2019. That's pretty accurate.
Right.
Otherwise, yeah, wildlife income for Larry at line 31. We just have $200 in trespass fees so far, but we're expecting the Confidant Wildlife Association fund to come in later. So that's interesting.
Did you not change the membership calling fee? I thought I listened to minutes that said $100, and it's still 50.
That's a great question. It was changed to $50 overall, essentially. So anyone who has a water meter is paying a $50 annual fee as a standby fee. Any member who wants the hall water also pays a $50 fee, which is for the year, no matter when they come in during the year. Then, in further explanation, those that have a water meter hooked up, they do pay through the year. For example, Rod Johnson is a great example. He has water that he puts on his lot. He pays additional monthly fees for the additional water that he puts on.
What we changed was the standby fee. If you're not receiving water, but you're hooked up to the system, before you pay $100, but it didn't make sense to charge water haulers $50 that are actually using water, and those that are not actually using any water $100, so we made an adjustment. So everybody gets $50 for their annual fee, and then those that use water, as far as being hooked up to the system, also pay monthly fees.
cover the generator cost.
And so should those on their honor that haul an exorbitant amount of water from ranch headquarters. It isn't on your honor system, though.
Okay.
Any other questions?
No, I don't think so. Oh, our cookouts, I did add some money. We have spent $574 this year. The people who come love the cookouts. I think we need to keep going with that.
This is an income item.
This is an income, yeah, but the expense on it is over, so we need to set it up.
We purchased $700 and
then
it cost
$5. Yeah.
But it's still
a lot of things that happen to
the
ranch experience
in our favor. Yeah, I have a question on that. In the past, we had, we'll go all the way back to Paul and Matthew, but we used to have some, what they would cook out will be charged, but it would have a
potluck
benefit to last first probably need or something that they finish. We had a budget item for that. We don't have it now. I don't know if that's gonna happen.
You know, the cookouts here that we're talking about.
Yeah,
So no
potlucks. They may still have potlucks, but that's completely on whoever participates in the ranch isn't going to provide any money.
That's all I needed to know.
That work?
So we do provide money for the cookouts, right?
Yes.
So we have
that's going to continue. It's just not that, hey, let's get together and have a potluck. We're not going to provide the meat and everybody brings
it. So it's like on the Friday night or whatever, not Friday, Saturday night.
Yeah, we used to do that periodically. We used to have something like about $350.
The reason I know that is because somehow I'm not a party guy, but I got in charge of it.
I think that is. We're going to do the cookouts on the weekend. Whenever they can.
We're not going to do the 3 months anymore.
But we ran over $200. So we're going to pay that and happily do so because it benefits the members.
Essentially, we broke even there. The $200 can definitely be linked back to when they provided the board member luncheon.
Some of the lunches.
They did a full cookie. So essentially, we broke even. But we would like to make a little bit more profit.
Well, the thing of it is this year we got enough money at the auction.
That was wonderful.
To cover that.
Oh.
Because we're not going to spend that $1,500 or $1,600.
Are you kidding me?
Oh,
man, I'm going to be over that dinner next year.
Okay, now we're moving into expenses. I pretty much the budget, like I said, you're not going to see that located here. I just want to go over a few items as we go through, and I'll just pop the budget as you had. If you'll look at line 48, that's cabins maintenance. We show for 2019 a budget of $4,800. For projected 2018, it was $7,000. There's a note in the column that says that was one of those categories we were over budget on because we did a roof. And, oh, there's a finger down here on the table. I'm sorry. I don't have any more than that. I'm so sorry. They must have been wrong.
We add all of those things that we spend extra money on this year on our minutes, and so our members can pull up our minutes.
Oh, for sure. In fact, I'd like the board to know, thank you for bringing that up, because I brought with me, every year I put together a financial book, and in it I put together a record of all of the things that we've purchased year to year, so that Niall has it and so that we have it. I have 2007 things available. I provided it to anyone. Yes, I do keep a copy, because I think this should go in a newsletter.
When we're done with 2018, let's include that in our, whatever the next one is, whether it's for.
I'd like to get on the minutes so it's there permanently.
Perfect.
Newsletters come and go.
They do.
But the minutes are there permanent.
So that will go on in January or February meetings, and we don't pull it out. So we won't know what the final numbers are until the end
of
the year. Whatever he says.
Now that we're talking about these expenses, if we want to make a change to the next matter, are you going to have certain items?
No, we're...
Okay, I do have a request that it's just on the cabin expenses and on 46, that we add a section for improvements. for upgrading the cabin. I have had a lot of folks have requests that we do some upgrades. They look like mobile homes. We'd like to look a little bit. My way of helping with that expense is we've got several members that I talk to that will come and stay in the cabin and do some improvements. And at no cost, it's just material. And some of the stuff, I think, you know, windows, we'd have to probably pay somebody to come and do that. We want somebody that's professional, but the windows need to be replaced. I mean, they're, you can see where the window seals have leaked really bad. And I think that there's some minimal expenses that we could do to improve.
What do you propose as a number? I agree with you, but we just need to...
Well, you know, the last time that I am aware of the improvement was seeing what happened, and that was 6 years ago. We can't wait for 10 years saying, hey, we've got to do some more improvements. We need to put on a continual basis, a yearly basis, and I want to see about $10,000 per cabin. And I wanted to get up. Sorry, Bill.
$100,000?
No.
There goes the budget. Everybody
go home. Seven, two cabins a year, if we can, unless it's a big one like this one, or a major expansive one, and do two a year. And if you're going through a cycle, and if you can't do the 10, but you figure windows alone is going to be, you know, getting up there. If we can replace the water heater, I don't know if you guys have checked the water heater rooms. They are really deteriorated. And if we get 7 and 8, I think that they're winter usable cabins as the diesels, and we can do that during the winter this year. And I didn't get to read your email. I only got just a portion there. That $50,000, I think it said something about roads, but I was hoping that maybe we could put some of that. That would be beneficial to you in renting the cabin and improving them. But I would like to see that done. And I've got several people. We could involve people that are owners of the board to come and volunteer. Say, okay, you know, take a weekend and come and stay up here a day before.
We could solicit professionals.
And we can be professionals. I've got
and then come in, we'll put them, their family up in cabin 7. If they'll put us a new floating floor in.
Yeah, and so there's, you know, we can do that. There's some people that are members that are, they can do the work too. So, I mean, I don't want to just get somebody that doesn't want to do and that.
It was one time suggested that 7 and 8 get a solar fan for those upstairs. It gets so hot, and that causes problems with our screens always being kicked out, and you know.
I would just like to see
things broken.
Once the 7 runs late for the 4th, I have to finish all the other. I didn't have time to do it with everything else, but that's explaining how well them. We'll hang them on 10 and 7 and 8 and iron screen.
Oh, great. That was funny.
And the same kick out with it
for the dog. For the time you propose, we put $10,000 a year. I know that's half of what you're asking for, but put $10,000 in just to be, as you work through and see how it will fit or how it won't fit, and we'll figure it out. I think that needs to be maintenance and improvement. Cabin needs to be a priority. It hasn't been for a long time, and I think that our members deserve to have things, whether it's called improvement or maintenance, they need to, you can't just leave them and wait until they fall down like they have sometimes in the past and then try to redirect them. And I think my opinion is some of the cabins are used a little less and some a little bit more. We need to look at that and prioritize which cabins we work on first. Obviously, both that are used most should be at the top of the list. So I propose we put that in as a starting holding spot and then we go through the rest and see where we're at. Does that work?
Okay. So is that $10,000 in addition to these other categories?
Yeah, so
that
wouldn't be improvement.
So let me bring up line 47. Line 47 is furnishings for the cabin. That was hardly touched this year. It's got $4,000 sitting there just waiting to be used this year, although it got used other places. So we've already allocated $4,000. Can we just take another $6,000? Maybe I'm thinking of the $11,000 we passed over. If we take $6,000 out of that, now we're down to $5,000.
Well, the idea is to balance the budget and never and not touch the city.
Right.
If it's just at the end of the year, can we slide some of that maintenance money into upgrades?
Well, the reality is we don't have any extra money. So sliding it from one place...
No, I mean...
Yes, it's in
there. Next year, because we're not going to have all the expense here, can we use some of that money for maintenance or whatever, use it as upgrades, and
yep.
We'll do the...
Same thing with you.
Or whatever.
You're over that whole area, so you're at least on... the lower, and we'll figure it out between you and Joe. If there's money left over in the category, we certainly want to use it where it's going to give us the most bang for the buck.
So, if the way I understand my job is I have my actual money and it's divided all up.
Uh-huh.
I'm not in trouble until I see that I'm going to need more money than my bottom line is. And that's when I'm in trouble and I come to the board and say, hey, we got a problem or whatever.
That's correct. It was one exception. And that is as you move money from category to category during the year, we'd like for you to say, oh, by the way, board, I'm in June and I need more money here and less money here so I'm making it just so we can report it.
Yeah.
So that at the end of the day, then the budget matches a little more closely.
Okay. Budget. And then Joe doesn't come in 400% over.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah, 50 is where I got that $2,000 for consumables, but it went to 36. So I think we'll probably only got 2,000. I think we just didn't allocate it into the budget properly.
Okay.
And that would just be a note for the caretakers. They don't need to break down every paper towel that goes there. They just need to let me know if it's a maintenance item like CDC fittings and that stuff. I just need to know which cabin.
Furnishing and upgrades at headquarters. It's been zero in the past. I don't know that we can always leave it zero.
No, I don't think we can.
I had a couple of people approach me and ask if we could maybe spend a little money and effort on our playground out here. All the kids head out there whenever they get there, so that might be something that we could even talk to Dale about. I'd like to apply for the job of spending the
$50,000. I love that we put $1,000 in headquarters on one of those line items that says zero budget.
Okay. $1,000. Is that ground maintenance?
I'm going to put on ground maintenance, yeah.
Other than that, where are we at on fencing, Bob?
We're fencing that.
Fencing is tricky one. This is headquarters fencing that we have not allocated in the past.
And I thought that all was being split into my stage four.
It is being in there. But this is one of those spots where you brought up and I brought up and said, I'd really like to give them separate money so they can say, okay, here's how much you can spend on fencing. This is Brad's money to spend over here. If that doesn't work for you, we can just keep it all lumped.
It doesn't really matter to me as long as I know what we're dealing with. Because it's like he needed $450. I'd say I got $2,000. I know I had the permit fee coming back out. And I would like to see the ranch refurbished. Not just the cabin, but when you come in, the ranch refurbished. I mean, it will look old. See this fence out here? Quite nice. It looks old and rustic, but it's new and it's refurbished and nice. I'd like to see that done in all of our fencing inside of our headquarter area.
Let me propose this to the launch. Let's leave this one a zero. And you best budget in your fencing to cover whatever you want to see happen headquarters ranch-wise.
that must work. That way it is all under your purview.
Okay.
So Kinsey would then just go into, instead of calling it out and say, this goes to headquarters, but this is to the rest of the reps, you're saying just lump it all into one.
It's already done that way in the past. And if we put it in here, then we have to take it out later.
Right.
So it's all under your management. That's what I
think. You can walk out there if you haven't been out. You can see piece by piece we've been. We get this section this year and this section another year. You can see the new fence is starting along through there. So it's going to just piece by piece thing. And so.
We're not
going to
be able to budget unless you get the job.
That's what I'm applying for.
Okay, so let's leave that at zero.
Okay.
Headquarters utilities, headquarters expense. You think I don't think we're going to change.
No, but I did want to make a note here, especially for Brad's behalf, because of all the work that you did to get us switched over to America. So line 65, we paid 44% less this year on propane. Yeah, our pain than we did America. So congratulations, guys. Well,
thank you.
Thank you. Somebody said thank you.
We could use a lot more thank yous in our lives, couldn't we?
Other ranch buildings and facilities get dark if you're in the middle.
Whoa.
I don't see anything that needs to change there except for barbecue dinners. I wonder if we want to allocate some money that we're going to put out. That is so going to be a fluctuating account, though, from year to year. I know many of them want to have
it. I'd say let's put $1,000 in there instead of $720 and see how it goes.
Okay.
At some point, that will become an
important
center.
I'm sorry, that's personal, obviously, but she wanted to know if the $48 could be rounded up to $100 offset, because they use those calls not only personal, but for all of the ranches. So,
yeah, that's an item the board needs to decide on. What happened is when this first came up, just a brief review, the board voted to let between Rachel and I decide what to do. We decided to go with what had been going on, which was to pay them the average of 6 years, how much we paid towards the caretaker phone, which was $48 a month. We decided that's what we could do now, and we'd revisit it when it came budget time. So this is the time to decide how you'd like to do it.
I propose we throw out $75, which is more than what has been in the past, but it's not quite what they're asking. Does that work?
It should work.
Well, and we can again remember that we're just preliminary.
Yeah,
at this time.
Let's do it.
I don't want them to feel uncomfortable or
unappreciated. Absolutely. Okay, I've got that written down.
All right. So we have been paying 48.
We have.
Well, we were paying 44. We increased it to 48 to help pay their bill. Now it's 475.
So that started about June, I believe. We started paying them. They actually taking debit from their account for the phone bill directly to Verizon.
Okay, we'll find out if that works for them.
Okay.
If not, I'm not a huge deal. Alright, school, we're over budget, but I assume we're getting close to having, we're all going to be by school
over budget.
What does that mean, including wood chippers?
Yeah, what was that?
There was
the order from the battery off
on part four of the
day.
Oh, and there's other that got cut off. Let me go down. Let me tell you the rest of this is cut off. It also includes the new lawnmower, and it also includes the chainsaw and the repairs to the chainsaw.
That lawnmower's
on the way. Where it is, because it's going to go up. There's no way to
get out of that on the
vehicle.
No.
And we can't just say, no, we're out, don't buy a tool.
If we can get Phil and Rachel involved and just seeing that they have a $2,000 budget here and where they're at, then it's going to really help for them to be able to manage that so we don't ever go over budget. Or they come to the board and say, hey, we got to find some money because I got to have this or whatever.
So,
over 350 from the budget. But we have to buy stuff that hopefully we won't have to buy again.
And we'll get it coming together where we can walk in there and say, oh, that is
awesome. These P&Ls that I print every month, I'll try and put one together and circle your area so you can see them and get familiar with where your area is.
Well, black and stuff go on there like that.
Yeah.
next item of the issue is dump truck, which won't be an issue this year.
No.
The fire truck, I have a question on that. Does it function enough to even keep or bleed? I personally I'm not known it to actually work or be reliable enough that it makes sense to keep it around.
Last year, when I was over fire, whenever that was, year before or whatever, we got it running. I mean, it runs. The only one who can make it work is Brent. So if Brent stuff isn't here.
Well, the engine was okay. It was the water pump that wouldn't pump.
Yeah, well, we got the pump. I actually filled it up and I drove it up and I sprayed it and tried to, I filled up the trough, the water trough with it, and trying to get familiar with it and how to work. We could not put out the campfire. We can't depend on putting out the campfire with
that water.
Not enough to make it a difference.
Almost 250.
Yeah, you
could use it to go haul water to the cows or something, so it's used regularly.
So we don't need all.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that. We could start using that a little bit.
The only reason is
to make it more
and find out whether it's going to be reliable.
And maybe there's some attachments that they need to do because you got to get the other motor. You got to drive it out there, and then you got to get the pump on, and then you pump all the water. Make it more expensive. So
if they have to haul water, if it's sitting here and it's not going to be used,
nobody knows how to use it.
Even if I have it. Rebuilding the starter and rebuilding the carburetor, I don't seem to be okay again. I'm going to get used enough to keep it.
That's what I'm saying. If they took it once a week or once every 2 weeks to water the cows, then you know it's running and they have a shaft in it and you can actually get it.
Not
let it go, but let's keep moving on. Okay. Or I don't know if there's enough value to sell it or let's talk about that. Let's keep in mind.
I'll get it for you about a few weeks.
All right. Next page, I think.
Yep.
Then you got the expenses for line 96 and 97 that was included actually in 81, correct? You got one more.
Oh, I see. Yes, you're right. Yes, I missed that one. I missed fixing that one. Just disregard the note there.
Okay.
It was the money was moved, the note was not.
Okay. All right. I just thought
it was safe to
have that. Yeah.
Can I bring up an idea here, just for consideration? I think there is a good reason to shop around for prices, but I also think there's a good reason to stick with those who know our rents and that we have a relationship with. And I have no criticism for Phil and Rachel whatsoever on reaching out beyond, other than the work that I spent getting the people that do haul us fuel every year to match the price that they had been given, and then we went with the other person. And that was a hard conversation for me to have with our with the people that we do business with regularly. So I'd just like to bring up that I have no problem calling and trying to get matches on pricing so that we can get the best price. I would just like to see. They went ahead and ordered from the other people.
Are they already ordered before you got in touch with them?
That was never our conversation, but it could have been. It could have been that they already ordered and then they said, yeah, well, how much do we pay? And I said, there's not.
Somebody to create a relationship and you get a better price, that's business.
That's your
job.
Yeah.
You go back to them to say, hey, this is the price we can get. Can you match it?
Can you do it for us?
And they say, yeah, I'll do that. And then
we go to the other person.
You go to the other person.
Here's what I propose on that. You work with Filmer at Rachel and do the best you can. That's always the best.
Okay.
But I agree we need to honor relationships to a certain extent. We're using the propane because they said we're going to be beat the pants off.
Oh, yeah.
For longer sure. Gasoline doesn't work that way, but we need to make sure that we're being tax conscious.
I actually made the calls on finding that other guy that was coming out there when we had the guys come out. We paid $400 too much for a 50 gallons,
yeah.
40 gallons of oil.
Yeah.
That, so, yeah, I'll sell it for the same gas price.
Right.
This costs you $400.
That's
more
true.
Than, so you got to look at everything.
For
this
sure.
guy will come out, fill our tank for the same price and charge us $400 less. And we need 50 gallons of oil, and I think we need to switch guys.
I see what you're saying. So on this order particularly, it was just a fuel order,
yeah.
And we met with the other people.
And we didn't order any oil this time, so we didn't know what the difference would be in the cost order.
Right.
But
okay.
It's moving along. We're going to have a call on that as the issue comes up.
I got one comment on that fuel. The one thing I was concerned with, after all of this, I was that bothered me a little bit, but they ordered 2,500 gallons of oil. We've never ordered more than 1,800 or 1,200 of average. So if they're going to order that much, I don't care. If they get a good price, but let us know if the budget will carry it.
I don't think they know, so they need to know. Who's over fuel?
Well,
she was the one ordering it. It used to be Linda and I was her, but and all of a sudden, with the 2,500 gallon bottle.
Oh, is there a board member that looks at that?
Well, there's just about communication. That was the concern. So they went ahead and ordered without, but they just don't know. They don't know the parameters of the order. Yeah. So it just needs to be informed.
Okay, moving on.
Okay. Yes, and you're going to see that those are over budget just because they've bought some wonderful chairs for the meeting, and those have been put in there. That's why they're over budget. Absolutely.
All right. Crop management and erosion control, you've got that under control, Brad.
That was about 28. Thank you.
Yeah, do I still have that 2,000 that we have set aside?
I'm going to say at this point, no, we're going to have to take it out of savings. It's been so hard to track that and keep money from last year and make sure
exactly.
that it doesn't get spent to somebody else. So, because we've had all these emergencies, they've eaten it up.
That's how it went to
Alaska.
So it's not there?
It is not there. Because we would have pulled out of savings for this. And we would have pulled out of savings.
What was the 2,000 for?
It's not there, but it is.
What's that?
What was the 2,000 for?
It was for chemical.
Yeah, chemical.
That we held all of them last year, but we never have got a licensed guy to buy multiple. And to tell you the truth, I really don't want them handling chemical until we make them go through that license thing.
Mm-hmm.
John, maybe you could put that on your list, please. Because let's get them licensed on that, because it'll educate them on how to handle the chemicals that we use here. Be less likely to have an accident. Or
so are you okay if we say that $2,000 is just not a good thing anymore?
Year. I was counting on that.
You still have if you say,
let's see how the end of this year goes, and let's see what we can do. There's a few areas I'd like to try. I know what they tell me we can kill, but I'd like to try a couple of experimental areas and see what we can do with some of this chemical. Because if we can kill it one way and then brush hog it ourselves, it'd be way cheaper. So.
Okay, got a note.
All right. Next,
will
get you that I see. I mean, we talked about pay, we talked about setting due, and I think
can we just jump to erosion, stay there for just a second?
Sure.
I don't think anything has been done that I know of on erosion.
We talked about it a little bit
way back
because it affects roads, it affects a lot of things, agriculture. For instance, right now, just these last storms in the last 2 weeks, I've driven out and looked at a few things where private driveway culverts have plugged up and forced water back into the main road, and it's causing big damage. That's an effect. Crops are farmable ground or grazing ground, which can affect roads. And we never have put anything really into the roads. When we talked about it, we kind of just said, let's throw that into the road budget. but I don't know if that's the right fit.
You know, I got a couple of ideas. I tried a couple of things on some erosion, and I'd like to experiment a little bit. It won't really cost us anything except for using our equipment, and I need some rock hauled down a dump truck and dump. But if we can try a few things on, I think we can slow the water down and keep the ramp here.
It's going toward Cannonville, just below Cannonville, there's Sheep Creek and Yellow Creek. I was in there for hundreds, and that particular property probably had 30 little gouged out.
Yeah.
Erosion stop,
yeah.
Silt stem, and every single one of them were full of water. So they were beneficial for cattle. We don't have anywhere on the ranch right now that cattle can get a drink of water because it's all silt flowing right off from the erosion. So if we went in and strategically placed, opened up some of the old
if we create a couple of those things in some of the main areas where we have water, I haven't studied out here where all this water comes. You need to see this when it rains, how it comes off of that hill. But as you drive out of here, go through, and then the very first place where Big Pond is right there by the gate, drive over closer there and look off to the edge right down there and see what erosion has done.
It's probably close to erosion.
It is.
Well, it eroded that probably before your time.
Yeah.
That whole fence was painted. And we had Alan Cruz and I spent 2 or 3 days there with 2 different bulldozers pushing the stuff up to the fence and the road where it's falling off. And I'm sure it's a lot of
the next one down, I mean, it is to where it is as far as it goes, but the next one down, it just looks like a little wash to you.
Yeah,
but I promise you, it'll shock you if you walk down to the end of that wash. That erosion is headed toward our road, and pretty soon it's going to be to us. Well, not pretty soon. It's going to be probably say 20 years. But 20 years from now, it's going to look exactly like the first place here, and right over behind the ranch, it's coming back up this other way too. I got some ideas that I don't think will cost money that we can try.
So the question on budget is, do you want to add to 128, or are you okay?
No, I just wanted to get permission from the board to have them still go out and practice with the backhoe and open some areas up and make some divots like he was talking about, little pond area. It'll catch some water. That'll divert some water, and then the rest of it, if it fills up, it'll run around and go the same path, and we might catch it again.
Yeah, there's a lot of places like on Meadow Canyon that need just boulder logs in there just to slow the water down because the trenches get waist high almost in places. Somebody slips off of the left.
I'd like
to ask about this one real quick over here. Is that an area where we should cut a ditch and put a culvert in?
No, because the water is 20 feet
high
above where it runs out.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, so I think what I'd like to do is I'd like to try cutting that down around there, and so it gives us a more gradual, and I'd like to fill it with rocks, and then I'd like to go down below, and I'd like to cut some of the junipers and throw them in so when the water does come down there, it kind of dams it up, and then sediment fills behind it. We could start trying to backfill, sort of.
On this hill right here, we're thinking about the one coming from Student Hall into the ranch house. Is that what we're thinking?
No, it's on the Student Hall going out just before you. It's the last drainage before you go over our cattle garden out of our private property.
It is
kind of a heck of a deal. I just want to try starting to do some more experimentation. The one that I did up above me, because I have the culvert down there, it's my property, so when we put the culvert down in right there, I had him run up and dig a little catch pond, and then all summer, all the rain
never got your culvert.
Yeah, it didn't come down. So it stopped most of it just by putting a little catch pond in so it doesn't run down here and then add to this one and then this one adds to here. So if some of those areas, some of them are going to be on private property and we can work with the individual owner and say, hey, is it okay if we come in? We'd like to come in and just what we'd like to do. And then we could flow the water coming into to headquarters, and I don't know, in all areas. The areas that I've looked at, I got some ideas I'd like to try.
Just little things that absorb the initial shock. Because within hours, if you can absorb enough of it and let it flow out a little bit slower, it doesn't cut.
We will keep the ranch right here instead of down by the highway.
Okay, let's move on. And yes, I agree with those things. You know, I'm not stepping off that. It's just the refreshing of
it. So if it gets slow in the winter and they have time to go practice on the backhoe, then I'd like to maybe talk to them about doing a couple of things, John.
Okay. Anything else we need to address? Let's see. We'll leave that for right now. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we get towards the end of the year and in the executive session. Okay. Let's see. Roads. That looks, I don't see any reason to change any of that for right now. Cash are what they are.
It says BLM Road. Still talks about getting permission to work the BLM Road out here. That they drive down there to haul water, so it's easier for them to haul.
Yeah,
it's the first road just before you get out of the trees going along the scoop.
Really, it's just the road that goes down.
Yeah, it doesn't go anywhere.
It's not a different point, though. It's just the
It's what he calls, and we know it as Deer's Point, but it's just where they water over there. There's a lot of roots that cross the thing. Is that going to be a problem with him practicing on the grader over with that?
No.
Because it's a good place for him to practice on the BLM road, because after they're finished, they'll probably come in and look at it and fix it or whatever. You know,
they'll be good.
Yeah, so he can practice over there. But as long as the roots aren't going to be a problem.
You just need to be careful on some of those big cedar roots. We can pull up the blade on somebody now. One of the button fields, somebody pull that blade because they're going way, way, way too fast. They're pushing those solid rock blades.
With a 6 foot crack in it.
Some of those roots are.
Would you make a note to have conversation
about
that conversation?
Okay. Let's see if we can finish page 5. I don't see anything else on there that we can have any control over. Taxes, payroll.
I'm
guessing that's going to be about $2,500. Now, last year we spent money on tanking the tank that we won't have to do again. But I'd like to add that in somewhere if you can find a spot for it.
Hey. You got it.
Water training we won't have to do again, so that's really not an issue.
Hey.
Rachel and Phil. Testing fees are going to be about the same. They're over budget a little bit.
They've gone up now, so we've allocated for that. They've gone up to 20% and added some extra for non-testing.
Special projects, you're going to have those two requests in there.
Yes, which I put some on the wish list. Maybe that's
the ground stunt course
and insulating on the water field.
Yes. Okay. And
update the cabin.
And I would add in update the cabin and specifically indicate the hot water heaters so that the lower cabin can be used for as much as possible. That's a smaller project that can be done sooner rather than later.
Sure.
Is there a water test for a spring that we might be able to develop that members could just go to and fill water stuff up out of one of the springs?
We're only required to test those that have a certain number of connections. If we were to develop a spring and say, this is water that's available, we just have to say, not tested. Or do a sample testing like you do on the upper water system.
We test for things, a contamination in the water. Is there something that we can test to see if that's water that would be desirable enough for people to want to go and fill.
Yeah, we can do the same. We can do chemical tests. They're a little bit more elaborate, but I didn't
tell how hard it is, and how sweet it is, or, and all that other
Grant, let me jump in here on that before you guys go overboard. Can I jump in for just a second?
Yeah, we're all here.
Okay. The reason that we had to get an approved system back in 2003-2004 was that DDW caught us letting people haul water from an unapproved system. You cannot haul from an unapproved system, period. Okay?
What about a developed spring?
It has to be approved system.
So if we develop
think about why that is. We could be dispersing contaminated water to however many people haul, and that's the reason for it. And I get that, and I understand that. But just keep in mind that it would have to be. I don't know how you keep this confidential enough for them to not find out, but they found out we were doing it in the first place, and that's why we had to build the certified system.
That's great. My understanding when Brad developing the spring, that would include going through the process of getting it approved. So I understand where you're coming from, and I'm not suggesting anything other than when he says develop a spring, that's not just sticking a pipe in the ground. That's verifying that it's suitable and that.
Yeah, we check the water, make sure we want to drink it, and then if it is, then we develop it to the point where we can put a solar pump or whatever and pump it into any of the excess water into a tank or let it fill into a tank, and people could drive up and
That's only the same kind of process we're going to go down through here, and I think we need to look at that. But before we do that, we need to test the water and say, is this something somebody's going to want to drink? Most of the sources are, but we need to check that. Does that make sense,
Ben? Well, yeah, as long as you're willing to throw the money and time and effort and continuing ongoing testing that will be the same as what we're already doing at it.
If we ever get, if I get these monies that I keep hoping for, we're home.
Kind of like.
Hello?
Yes.
I would like to develop a couple of the springs. I would like to put a solar pump in.
Oh, Grant.
Yeah, I'm not just after Kathy's budget money. But if we get the additional money, they'll pay a lot of the cost for us to put in a solar pump up here, and we'll put a new water trough in here. We can even run pipeline farther down, and so we have two troughs being fed out of the one spring. Just sit there for years. Well, I've never even seen it pumped before, but I guess I heard about it being pumped once. But
okay, I think we've gotten through the budget. The lunch is ready. Unless there's an objection, I'd look for a motion to adjourn this meeting. And then I think we're going to have a little of an executive session again after lunch. Is that right? Is there something we need to discuss? Anybody want to make a motion?
I do. I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Hey, we're going to dismiss the home crowd and have lunch for a minute, and then we'll have an executive session. And
our next meeting will be?
And our next meeting will be the second Saturday of November. What's the date? Actually, we've always been the third Saturday, but it's close to Thanksgiving. Any objections to the 10th of November?
Is that here?
Probably not. I'm going to go to St. George at my office. Put that on the website. Thank you all for attending, and amen.
Amen.
Thank you for the whole summer.